I've been waiting for. There's a war in the feeling, they ain't keeping it real. They think it's easy to peel just cause they flipping those bills. The only vote is for heal, but if I trump it'll cost. We already walking dead in the land of lost. I've been taking it way back, say Jack. Been my own wicked woman on the track. Why you twerking in the trap? I'm gonna get them plaques. Yeah, my mind is on them racks. I'm just stating loosely facts. Go and get that contact.
Hey everyone, welcome to Know Your Scene, a new show by DC Music Download that airs on full-service radio, broadcasted live from the Lion Hotel in Adams Morgan. I'm your host, Stephanie Williams, and with me today, I have Dior Ashley Brown with me.
What's good? What's good?
Hello. Yeah, she was rapping earlier to her song, which you just heard called Vernacular.
That's right.
MC. Musician, actor, and performer. I feel like I'm probably forgetting a million other things that you do because you are a jack of all trades here.
Thank you.
In DC. So welcome to the show. It's so good to have you here.
Man, it's good to be here.
So let's talk about Vernacular, which is the song that we just heard. It actually has a really interesting message behind it. So can you talk more about how you made the song and what it is?
Yeah. So, wow. How did I make Vernacular? So I was in the stew, uptown Silver Spring. My guys had this studio in a cut called The Lab. They still kind of are building on that. And we were just vibing. Like, it was around the time that Trump and Hillary were running. And then also there were these other heavier issues, like we just lost a young rapper named Swipey. And then there was another discussion about another rapper who had, you know, killed another rapper in the game. And they were like really young and, you know, they were still developing their career. So like there were these undertones of like friction and reality and what we were about to step into with Hillary and Trump. And the possibility of Trump, damn, at the time.
Yeah,
so the possibility
times.
Of that. And so I was inspired, you know, by everything that was going on in those different conversations, walking from room to room. And once I got in the studio, my boy was just like, yo, I want to hear something funky from you. Like, I want it. I was like, I got you. I got you.
Of course. Yeah.
So my boy Kai had this dope beat that it just had all these flavors. And it was just had this like, oh, you know, soul to it, this swag to it, and it just started like coming from my gut, you know?
Yeah. I was gonna say, because when I was listening to this song, it reminded me of like an early MC Light, like
what?
That era.
Okay.
Yeah. Would you say that she, when you were growing up, was she one of your influences? Can you describe a little bit to me? Because you're from DC.
Yeah, you're a DC native.
So
yeah.
What were you listening to when you were growing up?
Oh my goodness. I was listening. Well, I was so blessed to also be a military brat. And so I was back and forth in D.C. So when my parents were both were sent to Desert Storm at the time, that was illegal, but they had both of my parents at Desert Storm. I was here. And so I was living with my grandparents, and I was hearing like a lot of old soul music. So that I had that foundation when back and forth with my father, he would always play jazz. So then I had that foundation, right? That jazz, that soul, real old soul, old. And the jazz just gave me this complexity as well. So I'd be reaching all these levels. And then hip hop in the 90s and in the late early 80s really caught my soul too. So yeah, when you say MC Light, I'm like, what? Like we had a slew of MCs between like late 80s, early 90s,
right.
and early 2000s of female MCs. So I had, you know, Queen Latifah inspiring me.
Yep.
You know, I had MC Light inspiring me. I had Lauryn Hill inspiring me.
Yeah.
You know, and Lil' Kim. And then when, like around my teenage years, it was like Lil' Kim, Foxy Brown. And I was just yo, like women coming
era.
In their own. Like, yeah, I got it too. I can do this too. Oh, man, that was incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
So when you were growing up in D.C.,
what was
the music scene like? Did you ever get an opportunity when you were younger to check out venues here, explore some of the bands that were playing here at the time? So what was it like for
you? This is so funny. This is a question I had earlier. So like my parents were super strict, but then I had my older cousin when I came back who was like, you're not going to the Black Hole. And that was like the spot to go see all the bands in DC. So most of my time spending time at the Go-Go when I was a teenager was when we had the bands at school. So I'd be rocking like UCB, all all of them at school, and it was so dope. And then, you know, so we were inspired by that. Then we had like these small house parties. So like my friend Salim, who passed, Salim Hilton, God rest his soul, amazing artist and muralist. He used to have parties that were amazing, and we would play have these go-go parties. And my friend Aziza used to have them in the basement, go-go parties. Then I would have parties. Me and my ex-boyfriend AJ Audio AJ used to do them, and they were like just these lit parties. We listened to go-go, and like a little bit of hip-hop would be in between. And yeah, it was dope, because also we had the neo soul era. Yeah. So it was just like this beautiful balance of staying in the pocket and rhythm. It was an incredible time. Like, it, you know, like at that time, people were, you know, wearing their hair natural. They were like, you know, much like they're developing into today, but they were, you know, wearing their hair natural, and they were wearing these really powerful shirts where they were kind of like coming to a level of consciousness, like, yeah, Al Green is the one, or Black Like Jesus. And it was dope. It was definitely dope. Yeah.
So for people who are new to the city there, yeah, that might be listening to this right now, yeah, how would you describe what it's like to be a creative here in DC in the current day?
You know what? It's an amazing, beautiful struggle.
Interesting. Okay.
So, it's crazy because, you know, I'm from here. So a lot of people want to hear a lot of things that are outside of the city. You know what I'm saying? So there is a lot of teaching that has to be done on collaboration, and also, you know, like, giving that love to the sound that's coming out of your own city and kind of rallying behind that, like, yo, this is us. This is, they're speaking our language. This is us. So I feel like that's a part of the struggle. But then also it's this beautiful blooming of opportunities and movements and things to continuously be inspired by. So we're like, you know, we're fighting for new spaces. We're fighting to maintain our music on the streets, you know? So you have those fights, and then you also have these opportunities that are coming up where you can actually be granted awards to just focus on your craft, like DC Arts and Humanities, or you have the Halcyon House, where you can become a resident artist and focus on your craft. So it's this beautiful, you know, back and forth struggle of, you know, one, finding yourself, and then, you know, getting your people behind you. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, one thing, I was talking to Marcus Dowling not too long ago on the show.
That's a homie.
Yeah. And he always mentions this new DC versus old DC.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting.
Very
so
true.
New DC, meaning the people who are moving here, who are helping to kind of gentrify the city. Do you feel like the people who are so-called transplants here in DC are welcoming and receptive of the music being here? Like, how is it like to kind of live in this different evolution of DC than the one that you grew up in?
Yeah, I will say, you know, the transplants definitely, you know, when they have the opportunity, when they are made aware that exists and they come out, they are appreciative. You know, I meet a lot of people like, you're a native? Hold up, tell me about DC and tell me what you do. So they do get very excited about it, you know. But I will definitely say that it's not made aware that local artists and space are not promoted enough in these new spaces where their transplants exist to actually for them to get a hold of and be like, oh, there's a lot of transplant events that come in and they do very well in DC, but they don't really touch what's happening locally in the local scene. Yeah.
What do you think needs to happen in order for that to change?
I think tapping on some of our large engines like DC Music Download, Listen Local First, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
DC Music Summit, One Love Massive, Dior Ashley Brown and the Dab Band, you know, tapping on us who like have large communities that surround us. Oh, We Act Radio, you know, and really just doing a little bit of homework and say, you know, what already exists and who can we tap on and just see the response. One, like, you know, hit them up and say, oh, you know, we want to bring a show. We want to mix them with some other artists from out of town. How can we make this work? You know, I think tapping on a lot of the people who have a stronghold of the scene is a great way to get in.
So speaking of DC Music Summit,
Yeah.
That is an event that you put on.
Yes.
That you've put on for the last couple years.
Yeah.
So can you describe more about what it is and why you felt the need for it to happen?
Yeah. Okay. So that's another thing of trying to integrate the existing artist scene with what was happening. So I felt like my community needed to be educated. And honestly, when I talk about my community, I'm talking about Moose Eye House. I used to do PR and events for Moose Eye House. And I was like, yo, it'd be awesome if we had like a day-long symposium of information on how to professionalize ourselves. I needed it. You know what I'm saying? So I felt like the other artists needed it as well. So how do we professionalize ourselves? How do we get our business acumen? How can we make money in this whole gentrification and change that kind of feels like, wow, this great divide? How do we, you know, make that a negative into a positive and really start bridging these gaps, you know? So that's how the DC Music Summit came up to, and I went to Erica at Google had an event for artists, and I said, hey, you know, I want to do this symposium at Moose Eye House. And she was like, oh, really? You know, I'm going to bring another sister around. She brought Jonna Humphreys into it, who's with Moog Music. And we just came together and started talking about how this summit would be awesome and be great to the community. And people came out in the droves first year. And then the second year was just as awesome and creative.
Yeah. And I remember I was at the first one, and it took place at Union Arts, which rest in peace.
Yeah,
Union
rest
Arts.
In peace, right.
Yeah, and it kind of brings up the issue too of space here in DC.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the whole notion we were talking about earlier about finding something that's affordable, not just space that works, but also affordable.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I always ask people this, because how do you think DC needs to go about it in a different way, like the government particularly, to just make space for artists? And if so, how do you think that needs to happen?
It's so interesting, because now there's another conversation kind of keeping the government out of the arts too, you know,
right.
But it's also how do we create these strong foundations, these spaces where artists can truly exist. And so and kind of taking away a lot of that, the racial facade, like, you know, there's a racial barrier, this very segregated mentality, you know, that shouldn't exist. Like we need to take everyone as they are and believe in integrating, you know. But getting the government involved, I guess, as far as funding, as far as forcing space. And I hate to put artists in affordable housing, but, you know, we have to teach DC how to value artists.
Right.
So, you know, I know there's like some like really, there's unions in DC that, you know, are like really underground and not very clear. Like, do we, you know, and then it's like, do we want a union? Because artists should be able to, you know, have a sliding scale of pay and things like that. So, you know, it brings a lot of other conversation. But yeah, I think the government should be involved, especially with making sure that there's space, and then not criminalizing the arts, especially when it comes to live performance and sound outdoors.
Right. And that was an initiative that took place not very long ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where the city council was thinking of putting a ban on essentially street performers, people who were out. If there was, I think it was 100 feet, if you could hear the noise, then you would get either cited or thrown in jail.
Yeah. Or your music equipment confiscated, or your amplified equipment confiscated.
Right, right, exactly. So can you talk also, too, about your efforts to essentially help to keep this from being passed?
Yes,
and sort of some of the things that you were working on behind the scenes.
Yeah, yeah. So I worked with Aaron Herbscott, Graham, Chris Nome, Kimon Freeman, all together, Molly from One Love Massive, Katia Skitt from WPFW, to come together and whip some votes in our favor. So what happened was, the day that we had the protest at, or the press conference at Chinatown, during the whole day, we spent at the Wilson Building whipping votes from council member to council member, to either the council member or their offices, and saying, look, you know, are you with us? Because this isn't right. We do not need to criminalize the arts. We do not need to fine buskers $300 who hope to make, you know, $20 to $30 a day. We do not need, or an hour. We do not need, we do not need to confiscate their equipment. So when we whipped all day, we got about 5 or 6 votes. The next day we went to the voting, and we, you know, got them onto our side, and we were able to withdraw the bill. So that was a blessing, but it's only temporary. So now before, you know, when they get back in session about September, we're going to have another discussion on, you know, maybe coming to some sort of compromise, because we're not opposed to a compromise. We're just saying, look, what is 80 decibels? What is 75 feet? It's actually something a little bit more. It's worse.
So subjective.
You know, subjective to whose hearing is it, you know?
Yeah.
And if there are being a nuisance, why won't you just go down to the buskers and give them a program or flyer and say, yo, we're thinking about doing this. Do you want to have a say? I mean, you didn't even give the people a chance. There were all these grievances. All these people came to the hearing, but the artist community was not involved, and they didn't approach these people like they're human beings. They're your neighbors.
Exactly.
They live and work here too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. So treat everybody fairly.
Yes. Treat everyone fairly.
So that said, yeah. Do you think that DC is a city that is something that is working for musicians or against? Do you always feel like you're kind of going against the grain in terms of just making
we're always
things
going against the grain
and making things work?
Well, because our town is so conservative, just like the government that sits there, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it is, we're always being inside out, and so DC slowly is like, we're smart, like they're smart enough to realize these layers of progression, but they still get kind of like super reserved, and it's like, yo, you know, like, let's the reason why it's so vibrant, the reason is because of the arts that exist. So you'll commission me to do a artscape against your wall, you'll commission me to bring events to your venue, but you won't consider making sure that we're promoted well on your company's website. You're a restaurant, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You may not invest into the talent that comes in. You need to invest in having a sound system so that the band can plug and play. We are our own advertisement as well. When we come in, we come with our, you know, 5 to 2,000 followers online who at least start to know about you. So consider valuing the artist, because you want them to thrive here. And it's a beautiful balance. You know what I'm saying? Don't force everyone into the same box where they're unhappy, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Is there a city that you think is sort of a model for what DC should be in terms of just supporting musicians and arts?
You know what? I think between New York and Louisiana.
Louisiana, interesting.
Yes, San Francisco, from what I'm gathering, like, Louisiana seems to have a lot of support as far as like the community itself pushes its artists up.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and then maybe even right now, I think the Bay has a beautiful way of collaborating. All the artists collaborate there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you know what? I think the top of that would be New York, because they try to break down every opportunity. Like, I've gone to New York just to sit in for housing conversations, and all of the things they do to make it work for housing, for artists to have affordable housing, to have housing, to have benefits. So New York is probably the best model to organize that. Yeah.
And they also have a nightlife manager or a mayor who just got put in place.
Oh, a nightlife mayor?
Yeah.
Wow. I got of course, that makes so much sense.
It does. Yes.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's talk about your band.
The Dad Band.
Yes.
Your Ashley Brown Band.
Of the many things that you do, this is one. So how did it get started? And also tell me, when you're someone who is putting out a new project, how hard is it to kind of break through the noise these days, especially with there's so many ways for people to access music, to discover music.
Yeah.
What's sort of your secret to doing that?
Well, this is one thing I'll say. I'm a jack of all trades in the sense that I submerge completely in my art. So it only makes sense to me to be, if I'm going to do music and I'm going to perform it, to be awesome at that. And then adding theater to that piece only makes sense, because the whole art of storytelling and being able to get that through.
Right.
I think that I have just committed to I've committed to what I believe in, and I believe that women, black women, and people, black people, and need to be empowered. And I love to empower people through my music and inspire them to be whatever great they want to be, you know what I'm saying? Whatever best form or new phrase or your best life, I want you to be inspired to be that, because I want that to reverberate for me out here. I want to feel the reciprocation of love as we all exist. I want my children one day, you know what I'm saying, to be inspired by the love that exists, because I see what it can do when we have progressive mindsets and can really build. And I believe that because people of color have been so oppressed, that they need to, that their spirit needs to be constantly instilled, and people have to really understand that it's not like, oh, you, here you go, here's your benefits. No, it's really like a building up of that spirit, of that energy, and welcoming a unique vibe that may be not all about power or control or money. It may just be about that beautiful feel of rhythm and love and good vibes and really community. You know what I'm saying? Right. That's one thing I love about my community, is that it's a lot about this beautiful simplicity of community and connecting and getting to know one another. I love it. Yeah.
I was going to say, what inspires you creatively?
Yeah. God. Amen. Hallelujah. Like all the time. Like I'll be like, yo, you are working through my life, because I've been through some things, and I'm just like, yo, we're about to keep going. He inspires me all the time. The love that, like, the tough love my parents gave me, you know, that inspires me. My community inspires me. You know, going over these hurdles inspires me. You know, and also kind of like the climate, like the current climate I am living in DC, the changes that are happening, the need to like pronounce, like, I'm present, do not ignore me, it inspires me. So yeah, those things. Mm-hmm.
So I feel like one thing that I struggle with when I'm creating is evolving, you know, just constantly changing and doing something different and growing, essentially.
Yeah.
And you, I feel like, do a really good job.
Thank you.
Of doing that, like always evolving yourself and doing different projects.
Right.
So how do you keep yourself from not getting into a creative block?
Oh, wow. That's actually hard. But what I do is do it anyway. So this is what I told a student like a couple years ago at a hip hop panel that Goldie Patrick normally does. I said, you know, even if you have to write down supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, like even if it's corny, whack, or confusing, or it doesn't make sense, write it down. And don't beat yourself up so much for it, because I spend a lot of time beating myself up. Like I'll write a verse, and then I'll be like, what is this? And then it's like, this is artwork. Like I'm sure when Picasso looked at a painting, you'd be like, oh my God, this is freaking amazing. And then he just tore it down and ruffled it up. And then he was like, yo, hold up. Let me put this thing back up. Let me see. Hold up. Maybe I could take a little piece from that, a little that.
Right.
And that's what I really feel, that like you have to forgive yourself. You have to keep doing it. And you got to be on your own time, because you can't be on anyone else's time.
Yeah.
You can't be on everyone else's time is where you get caught up. That's the hoopla. You just have to be present in you.
Right.
Yeah.
So speaking of innovative projects, you just got done doing a kind of a hybrid of like a play / musical at the Atlas.
Yeah.
So yeah, which sounded cool. Can you talk more about what that was?
Yeah, absolutely. So my play is called My Vessel. It's a hip opera. So I wrote the entire play in hip-hop verse. Hip opera, and I've been writing that play for years. I've been probably writing it since I was like 18 or 19 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's still in development, but there are just like characters that I hone in deeper, and I'm trying to figure out where it goes. And now, like, I at the time I didn't have a band, so my music director Turk Gaines, amazing. He plays all the instruments in our band. he could play all of my, but I have, we have a full band, but he can play them all. But he did all the composition underneath the storytelling, and we went to high school together, but we were just cool in high school, you know. And then we came back together in life, formed this band, and the way that we connect and know each other is unreal. Like I'll just do this and be like, I got you. And then we'll be like, oh, yo. And it becomes like this beautiful freestyling thing. And then we start articulating it, and it forms into a story. So it is a hip opera where I wrote about, I did like six different characters, six different monologues.
Wow.
Yeah, I've done it twice. I did it in October of last year, and I did it this year in March, and two different directors. And two different perspectives. So one perspective kind of took you on the journey of kind of Dior Ashley Brown, and the other perspective the same, but I only had one piece of a prop. You know what I'm saying? Where the other piece, I had like a full set, da da da. But when I just did it recently, it was just me and a scarf and a stool.
Wow.
In an all black set with a spotlight. And that was crazy.
Wow.
That was crazy. Yeah.
That's crazy. So also one question that I want to ask you too. So when you go on stage, do you still get nervous?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Do you?
I still get nervous every time.
Because I feel like you perform everywhere. So I
wish I was performing everywhere. It may look like it, but I really want to be performing everywhere. So come holler at me, DiorAshleyBrown.com. You can book us. We dope. No, I absolutely. Oh my, and I'm not even just saying that. Like, wow. I get like kind of shaky. I'm like, but it's so exciting. I feel like when it gets like that, there's so much adrenaline. Like, yo, this is so, and it may be also nervousness and excitement, but I'm like, I really am strategically trying to figure out how am I going to reach them?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've done shows where I felt like I was talking at people, you know, and I was like, yo, I want to reach them. How do I reach them? So it's always a new feat of how to bring people in and give them the story and connect with them. Because when you leave from those experiences, you should want to take some sort of flight, or it should sit with you, or, you know, inspire you or teach you something, you know, or open you even up just to my story as a black woman.
Right.
Yep.
So speaking of race.
Yeah.
Here in DC and music. Yeah. What are your experiences like being a woman of color making music in DC? You know, because I feel like when I first started DC Music Download, there was a lot of, I feel, more separation between different races, different genres. And I feel like now it's starting to come. I don't know what your perspectives are, but it feels like it's kind of coming more together. There are people of different races kind of doing more collaborative songs and shows and things like that.
Yeah.
So how is your experience like in terms of just like, what you perceive with race and music.
Right.
Very also just like what you kind of hope the music scene evolves into.
And you know, it's funny that you say, because I think at one time without it really being about race, just more about genre, was very segregated.
It was, yes.
Yeah, so it's beautiful to see like Cornel West Theory with a punk band. I'm like, yo, you know,
which
Cornel
totally
West.
Makes sense.
Which totally makes sense. And I'm glad that people are starting to find those bridges and not freak out. I'm like, yes, it's music, you know? How do I feel about it when it comes to race? Sometimes I feel like when it comes to hip hop, it may be judged slightly. And so there's this fearful vibe of it can't be anywhere in any space. It's still an art form. And it's still, you know, depending on, you know, the age range. But let's just say all of these are mature audiences only. Like, it's still an art form. It's still something to receive. It's still a vibe, you know. Sometimes I feel like that has a sort of colorism that should be way more opened. And because there's so many things with hip hop, there's so many different layers to that. And I think people kind of set this sort of tone that, you know, I don't know, it's a, they kind of set a tone that's not very open, that it can't be in any space. And I feel like hip hop can be in any space, you know. More with color, I feel like there has been a lot more open doors to my counterpart, as opposed to, you know, and maybe their value being seen more than mine. You know what I'm saying? That the opportunities may not come as open, maybe because there are a lot of the majority of the transplants. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like there aren't as many open doors. Like, it's kind of, my spaces may be a little bit more repetitive and not as open. But it could also just maybe me doing some more work. I'm not trying to be too judgmental in that area. Maybe there's more work, but I really feel like the doors should be a lot more translucent.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Leave these doors open so that it can just kind of sway. Yeah. You know, I mean, and base it more on, is it good?
Yes.
You know, is the music good?
Right.
Leave the color out of it. You know, is the music good? And because I've seen, my audiences are super diverse. I'll have somebody from Chile, from Samoa, from West Africa. I have ages from 25 to 65, all in a unique space, so it can be done.
Yes. So speaking of genres too, do you think that genres, and meaning everybody, yeah. do you think everyone has the same opportunity when it comes to getting booked at spaces here in DC, getting coverage in the local media? Or do you think there's also too a little bit of that favoritism towards certain sounds?
There is favoritism. It's quite obvious. I mean, like, I would love to perform at a Union Stage or an Anthem or whatever, you know. But I do, like I said, there is a stigma on hip hop. There is a stigma on, I think, Black people in hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Where my white counterpart will probably have the opportunity much faster to be like, oh, you already made it there. Like, I've been doing this for 10 years to get to, you know what I'm saying, that spot, you know. So, yeah, there I do feel that there's a lot more open door. Yeah, in that case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I feel like it's so interesting, yeah. too, because I feel like it's when national outlets write about D.C., yeah. they always talk about, oh, like the hip-hop scene is booming here. There's all sorts of, like,
there
MCs
is.
And people coming out of the city.
Yeah.
Not just Gold Link, but right. also a lot of other people,
yes.
too.
But yes, then, a lot.
Yeah, and then I feel like when you go to shows sometimes, you don't really see that really represented.
No. Yeah, and it's also, it's crazy that you say, oh, but Gold Link, yeah, because also it's gender bias, too.
Yes.
Like, there were times where we would have to have all-woman shows, like Lipstick Revolt. Mana used to run that. You know, like, we'd have to, and, like, right now I'll be doing one with a sister who, a Dime of Pearl Art Trail, will be doing a Flower Power. I'm going to host that show. But she has an all-woman lineup of poets, MCs, vocalists. And so, yeah, there's not a lot, and I feel like that show needs a heck of a stage, you know? But, yeah, it's very, it could be very gender biased. So you have to force these spaces for, you know, it's like, okay, we'll accept the male hip hop MC, but we won't, you know, accept the woman. And so, yeah, it needs to be more of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because so essentially it's just like you have to almost create these like themes sort of in
yes,
order
you do.
To kind of have it fit, right?
Which exactly.
is like a whole nother problem.
Or provide something like, you know, there's going to be flowers at the party and it's like, okay, yeah, but you can also come just appreciate the art
right.
and be present. That shouldn't be the only thing that brings you to that space. You should, and some people at DC need to get out of their house and kind of spoiled by Uber Eats and the convenience. They got to walk down the street, go to Marvin's on August 23rd where I'll be with my band. It's yeah. free 7 to 10 and get lit, you know.
Yes.
So get some of this DC art. Yeah.
Yes. So you've been doing music now for a while.
Yeah.
So what was the best piece of advice that you think you've got when just in any time of your life that you think that you still use today?
The best piece.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. That I maybe locally. The best piece. I would it probably came from my music director Turk, like, just fuck it, let's do it. Like, it, you know what I'm saying, like, who cares, fuck it, let's do it. Like, and I like that it's like, you know, you can get caught up in the, oh, but they're not letting me do this and that happens and these, and then it's just like, no, fuck it, just do it, and the people in the space will be inspired and it will speak for itself.
Yeah. So when you go out and enjoy music,
yeah.
when you're not making music or performing,
yeah. Yeah.
where do you like to go? Who are some people that people should know about?
Oh, where do I, like other artists?
Yeah, other artists or other venues too?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So right now, you definitely need to know about Marvin's. I love that Marvin's has now opened up the bottom space component, like focusing on bands. And I was so proud today.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. I'm so proud today because I went to marvinsdc.com and I'm looking on the website and on the calendar. I'm like, oh my God, it's everybody. Just Paul Spires is performing coming up. You got Ace Ono about to perform coming up. And we on there. So I was like, yo, this is so dope. And then Soto is real cool. Tamika Love Jones has performed there. I love Tamika Love Jones. She is a songbird. Please go get that soul in your life. She can blow. Her bass player also a fiance, Taurus Mateen, is bad on the bass. He's bad. Yeah, I support a lot of artists. Like, I love Sir EU. I'm like a big fan of his.
Sir
I'm kind of slightly a groupie. Don't tell nobody. He's dope. Hipster Woods is a dope DJ. I love Hipster Woods. Celebrated his birthday recently. Love supporting him. Cecily just came up with a single called Pisces. Oh, and I swore I heard it at Starbucks the other day. I was like, yo, this song speaks to my spirit. And you know, it's so simple and strong. And yeah, so like those are just like a few, but I mean, yeah, like there's too many dope MC. Jason Santos has a dope show called The Lab on Thursdays. Not only is he a dope MC, but he has The Lab on Thursday nights at 11 p.m. at One Love Master Studios. I've been jamming with them. He puts you right in the space of like other MCs and challenging you. It's freestyle and beats, and they give you all these challenges. It's so much fun.
Wow.
So I've been doing that with them on Thursdays. But yeah, I try my best to support local artists like Coley Williams. We have a single together actually called Natural. I out of the Muzai house, I work with Scoob. We have a single coming out. I'm excited about that. But yeah,
talk to me more about, we didn't get a chance to talk about this, Muzai house.
Yes.
So because you were a part of this for a long time.
Yep.
So can you tell a little bit about what that is and some of the work that you're doing?
Muzai was a gym for artists, which was so freaking amazing. So we were inside of 411 Arts Collective. We had our own like loft space floor, and we were turning it out. We were having some of the best like hip hop concerts, live band shows. We accepted all genres, jazz, everything. We had the famous, the dopest BYOB jam, bring your own band jam. And so it was this, we had this small room. And I was like, guys, this is where we're going to jam. And everybody was like, what? And it was this small room that had like this, a glass door, much like here in the Inline Hotel. And so we were in this space and had the band in there in this pocket where the sound was tight, and we would jam, and I was hosting it. So I would be like the maestro, kind of like creating the hooks and like, you know, you just kind of organizing everyone, telling the poets, MCs, singers to come up. And then I would pull them out of the crowd. Okay, like, here you go. Now sing this. And they would find their own voice, their own lyrics, their own sound. And I would be just organizing it. And we would live record everything. So we would come up with full songs, like Rockin' All Night Long.
Wow.
Was this bad jam. And then there were people in there like, do you know T-Soul? He was on The Voice, I believe.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He came there one night.
What?
Yes. And I'm like, oh my God. He's just like, in the middle of the night.
Here?
It's five of us in the room. And he's just killing it. And at the time, I'm so turned up, I don't even realize it's him. I was like, look, I had to text. I was like, I didn't know it was you, okay? But you're amazing. You're freaking amazing. But yeah, like people would just drop. We had Georgia Ann Muldrew. Yes. Bahamadia. Like we got blessed with a couple of people. I mean, there was one time where I was at the same space where it was a punk, and that's Rock a Night, and Henry Rollins came through on the low. Yes. Oh, we were lit. Oh, we're a legend. Like you're going to see all pictures form.
Goodness.
You're gonna see videos. You're gonna be like, how did they do that? We fought for our space. It was like hundreds of us who went down to the courts and were like, look, we need a space. You're gonna kick us out of space.
I
we
remember
need
that.
A space. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's gonna be something one day. The kids gonna find out. They're gonna be like, yo, they did that to us though. Yeah. Yeah. It was lit. The dopest. You can go on YouTube right now and Muzai House and see Rockin' All Night Long, and there's tons of video of myself and Scooby hosting. Wow. There was one time where I just needed to take a break, so I had like Cecily host, Tamika Love Jones host, and like back to back, I think was it Jason? I think he was rocking one. So yeah, it's awesome. Yeah,
wow.
yeah. We're an underground scene, man, and we're starting to bud. You see us start doing these pockets and gigs. Some of us have even gone overseas, just exploding from what we cooked in that space.
Yeah,
yeah.
So now that Union Arts is gone, unfortunately.
Wow. It's terrible.
Yes. So how do you sort of find space here? How are you sort of taking advantage of what's here and making the best out of what you can get a hold of?
I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm still trying to heal. I'm really still trying to heal. Like, so I hibernate right now, just creating my music, kind of veering off social media so much and just focusing in internally, because it was a lot to digest. There's a lot of realities in that.
I was going
to
say, because you made a lot of memories in that space.
Yes, a lot of memories. We had murals on the wall. People used to come and paint. Like, just it changed a lot of people's life. We used to have this thing called the Muzai Shock, where people would come in because they would get shocked so much by the vibe.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, and because I made a point when I would be on that mic to say, all that drama, hate, we don't need that in here. So I would just go this whole thing, let it go over, cross the tracks, out the window, and let it die. We don't want any of that in here. All love, peace, and harmony. And so that would free people up, and they would become they would be working consciously on being good and spiritual people. So everything was always a good night. It was always a good night. Yeah, I kind of left what you were asking me, but
no. Yeah, because really, at the end of the day, it's not really about the space, but it's just about like that vibe, being able to create that vibe.
Yeah,
you know?
And So trying to survive in that. So actually, I'm still avidly looking for space, but something that was similar to that. It doesn't have to be exactly that, but there was a level of freedom that I had, and I feel like a lot of these other spaces don't really have the je ne sais quoi to make it as soulful and as free as that space was to us. And it was so uplifting. It would propel. We had it on Tuesdays. It would propel people through the week.
Yeah.
Like they would be like, yo, like the energy would rise because they were able to let that go. And people don't understand. We work hard as heck in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
We work hard, you know, so you need that Tuesday to get your mind right.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it was comfortable and relaxing. And yeah, I even had like a masseuse come through and like massage people. It was cool.
What? You know what?
Unreal.
I am so sad that I never got a chance to go. I'm like hearing all these stories and I'm just like, where the hell was I?
But you did hold us down for DC Music Summit.
I always do. I always do.
Absolutely.
So what is the next evolution of Dior Ashley Brown? What are some of the things that you're working on? Projects? Yeah.
So I'm working on the Uptown Ashley Brown album with my producer, King Kai. We've been together as a team for like a couple years now. So he helped me. He actually produced Vernacular Red.
Oh,
yeah. And my band did Vernacular Blue. Thank you.
And the video. I love the video, too. It just like puts everything into perspective.
Yeah. Right. So we're going to be doing another video. That was a video where I wanted to incorporate. I wanted people to see women strong doing like Maxine Waters and, you know, a Serena, you know, doing these things in their element. And I wanted to attach that. I wanted them to see like, yeah, you know, that's us. That's us. It's okay. We can be strong, independent women, or we could just be who we are and not apologize all the daggone time for it.
Exactly.
You know?
Yes.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Well, good. And so you have new music.
Oh, yeah. I have new music that's coming out.
Yes.
Yeah. So just you know, work with me. You can come see the band for now. We're lit. I'm going to be doing the Biggie and Tupac tribute. We did Nas. Y'all missed that. Nas was lit.
Where was that?
Yeah, I did. It was written, a little bit of Stillmatic, definitely Illmatic. That was at Marvin's. So this will be at Marvin's on August 23rd. I'm going to do Biggie and Tupac tribute and my own originals. But I am working on an entire album for Uptown Ashley Brown. That Joan is funky.
Ooh.
Yeah, okay. I'm coming. I'm not unapologetic. Sorry, I'm unapologetic. Sorry. I wasn't sorry. No, unapologetic.
Sorry, but not sorry.
Right, sorry, not sorry. Okay. With this one for sure. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, that's coming.
Awesome. Well, Dior, I'm so happy that you could be here.
Thank you.
With me today. I feel like I've seen you out and about, and I remember, I will admit, before I actually was introduced to you, I was a little intimidated.
I get
you
it.
You were just glowing, and you were just in your element, and I was just like, who is this girl?
It's all love, I promise. It's all love.
Yes. So it was so good to have you on the show.
Yeah, indeed.
And if people want to check you out on social media, where can they find you?
Or
on the interwebs.
Absolutely. So DiorAshleyBrown.com, at Dior Ashley Brown on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook is Dior Ashley Brown Music. But yeah, please Google me. We got stuff on there. Check us out. See like all the YouTubes, the events that are coming up. Check them out. I mean, a slew of things I've done with DC Music Download. Just Google Dior Ashley Brown. Show me love, man. Don't be afraid. Let's get it done.
Yes. And with that said, we will leave you here with Dior's Vernacular.
Yeah,
blue. So you can listen more to that. And thank you so much for tuning in, and have a good night. And thank you, Dior, for coming by.
Thank you for having me.
Just because they flipping those bills, the only vote is for him. But if I trump, it'll cost. We already walking dead in the land of the lost. I've been taking it way back, say Jack. Be my own wicked woman on the track. While you twerking in the trap, I'm gonna get them plaques. Yeah, my mind is all them racks. I'm just stating loosely facts. Go and get that contact with your loose leaf. Leaning on the wall with your bathroom pass. Need a Wonder Woman in your life, how fast? I'm gonna tell the truth, but you puff up past. Speak my vernacular. Speak my vernacular. Speak my vernacular. She back, huh? For unlawful carnal knowledge, I'm wedged into worry while they suck and hurry. I'm just skating, do my derby. Watch these cameras all pervert me. Won't respect my name and dirt me, but I woke up early. Even when I'm late, I'm applesauce and frosting the cake. Bake your plate, A. While they ingenuities ace, I'm planning an escape with the save the world 10.8. Love potion number 9, fine dine. I want a piece of American pie. Lie under pudding pop shop that I ate the chocolate up. Why they sell me Californication? Afro on Rodeo Blaxploitation. And all this to the congregation. Speak my vernacular. Speak my vernacular. Speak my vernacular. Cause I keep it ill will. Thank God he instills whether red or blue pills. Kill Bill, don't trust. Bent up like Eon Flux, feeling sleep protruding with my elephant tusk. I see them shaking in their laundry cause I'm smelling the musk. They use their gimmicks as crutch. I did this all on my lunch break.